everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and we're always so glad that you've joined us.
Dr. Linda, I have to admit, a little sleepy today. Sometimes I just don't get a good night's rest, and it's something we often talk about on this show, but today I'm sleepy.
I know what you mean. There are some nights when I'm just tossing and turning and wide awake in the middle of the night. I know it's a hormone thing probably for me, but I just can't seem to get back to sleep. And then what happens is I'm sleeping most of the day.
Right. Lethargic. About 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. You're just coffee.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Have you heard the quote, laugh and the world laughs with you and snore and you sleep alone?
No. Okay. How about people who say they sleep like a baby? Usually don't have a baby.
That's right. That's exactly. Right. They have no clue. Sleep is so important that songs are written about it. And here's one. Do you remember the song by Gary Wright, Dreamweaver?
I do.
I just closed my eyes again. Right. Climbed aboard the Dreamweaver train.
You're not going to sing it?
No. Like,
you sing in the choir. You can sing this.
But I don't sing like Gary Wright. They come up with these lyrics. Apparently, there is something important about sleep in our lives.
Well, I'm old enough to remember the Beatles song, I'm so tired. And you probably don't remember that because you're much younger than I am. But the song was about lamenting that they couldn't get a good night's sleep. And John even says in the song, I'll give everything I've got for a little peace of mind. That's the desperation for a need for sleep.
Well, one third of Americans suffer from not getting enough sleep. This is it's a problem.
It's a big problem. Mm-hmm. And it not only does not getting enough sleep affect you physically, which you could probably guess, it also affects your emotional life, but it also affects your relational life. And that's why we're going to talk about it today. Have you ever thought about how your sleeping habits with your wife, in your case, with my husband in my case, may reflect how satisfied we are with our marriages?
Have not considered that.
Well, we're going to today.
I have a feeling we'll talk about that in today's show. So sleep and marriage satisfaction are related.
They are. So there was a study published in the journal Sleep. No surprise there. And it claims how couples who sleep together are influenced by how satisfied they are with their marriages. So the way they sleep together influences their marital satisfaction. In fact, more wives synchronize their sleeping patterns with their husbands. The more they can do that, sleep, you know, in the same sort of rhythm and together, the higher they rated their marital satisfaction.
Oh, so let's just take a nap, sleep our way right into our complete marriage bliss.
Is that something you can do?
I think so. That's an intervention that I can get behind. Let's do it.
Well, Sharon might want you awake some of the time.
Possibly. Yeah. Good point.
But there are positive benefits that sleep habits can have on your relationship, including feelings of being more intimate with your spouse.
Well, let me guess. A better night's sleep makes me less cranky. And I'm sure that's on the list of benefits.
It is. It actually is. There actually was a study that looked at how a good night's sleep affected couples. And they found in that study that men treated their wives better. And that in turn, when wives were treated better, they got better sleep. So it was like this reciprocal great thing in their relationship.
Okay, but what about when we're asleep, Sharon rolls over and takes the covers with her and leaves me out in the cold? That's got to be a problem.
It is, because just the interruption of that sleep from the covers being pulled off of you can make you more tired and more cranky the next day. So, maybe that explains a little bit.
It might. Maybe I need to fight for the covers more often.
That's right. So sleep is tied to our mood and our behavior, especially if pulling off the covers agitates you. Couples who spend the night agitated. So think about that. If you're waking up in the middle of the night and you're just where are those covers? Why is she always doing this to me? Or you're feeling distracted because you're looking for the covers, then you're not getting the sleep during that time. And you're actually going to wake up the next day and feel like you don't appreciate your partner as much as you could. Isn't that wild?
It's amazing.
That's what the research says.
So the idea of today's show then is to find out what works for couples when it comes to actually getting sleep. Sleeping well as a couple could improve your relationship.
I just thought this was a fascinating idea for a show, to really think about how sleep can make your relationship better. So we're going to talk about some of the benefits of sleeping well as a couple, and those benefits could actually improve your relationships. This is probably not an area of couples work most people think about. I don't know that I ever gave an intervention to someone when I was doing full-time therapy, get better sleep and your relationship will improve.
Right.
But I might start doing that. Because sleeping well together and getting good rest will help you feel better towards each other when you're in a relationship.
What about the lack of sleep when it comes to men versus women? Who is affected the most?
Well, there's some evidence, Chris, that a married woman may be more susceptible to the sort of damaging effects of not getting enough shut-eye in a marriage. So in other words, for women, if there isn't enough sleep going on, then they seem to feel more negative towards their husband. There was a 2011 study that was funded by the National Institute of Health, and it said that wives who don't have peaceful nights are more likely to initiate negative interactions with their husbands in the morning, but not so much the other way around. Men don't seem to do that.
I have seen that in action. If Sharon has a bad night of sleep, she's
kind of
a little cranky in the
agitated
morning,
with
right?
you. But with you, when you do, doesn't affect you at all?
Well, me too.
But the research doesn't exactly say that. It says it doesn't affect men as much.
Well, in the spirit of being a little competitive here, does that mean that men do better than women with less sleep?
It's saying that men and women deal differently with sleep deprivation. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes more sense because of the hormone differences of women. So the point here is that the lack of sleep can make problems worse.
Right.
So it can lead to feeling more negative towards your partner, especially, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, during conflict discussions, because conflict resolution skills and the ability to actually assess what's going on with your partner in terms of their emotional state, that whole piece can suffer after a bad night's sleep.
Mm. This is becoming more interesting. At the top of the show, I was, you know, asleep.
Sleepy.
Yeah, but starting to wake up now. You found 6 sleep habits that can affect your marriage, and let's start with number 1. It's a word I don't like. Snuggling.
How about cuddling?
Cuddling. Either
one?
People have aversions to words.
Yeah?
Snuggling.
Why?
And cuddling.
What is that about?
I don't know. I just don't like those words.
If you hear about a snuggling baby, do you start thinking negative thoughts?
I just don't like
that snuggling.
Word.
So even if I say a baby or a dog?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Snuggling and cuddling.
Oh, gosh.
I'm forced to use those words on this show today. But you say that snuggling dogs and babies, they may be onto something.
Yeah. So according to a 2010 study, couples who cuddle, in bed together, lower their levels of anxiety and increase feelings of security. So maybe don't say the word, just do it.
Right.
And then you're going to lower your anxiety right there, according to the study. And the benefits of nighttime cuddling carry over into the daytime.
Right.
So this is a benefit. Couples feel more intimate, and it increases the cycle of good feelings, and people get better sleep even.
Maybe this is why Sharon says it's like being married to a cactus.
Because you're not cuddling.
Don't like those words, yeah.
That's right.
What if one of you is always hot?
Well, I can attest to that, hello, to the fact that at certain times in marriage, pregnancy, menopause especially, those times of hormone changes for women, cuddling may last about 2 seconds because of the temperature differences. So it can be challenging when your body is so hot. To go next to somebody and get equally hot is not a pleasant thing. So you can start with cuddling, and it might help it does help the emotional connection, even if you try to start that way.
In fact, Dr. Linda, you found a study that looked at how many inches apart a couple sleeps. So get your tape measures out and see how far apart you are from your partner in bed. I have to wonder, who thinks to measure how many inches apart you are when you sleep?
Well, apparently people interested in the ins and outs of sleep, right? But it is an interesting idea. I mean, who does really think about, I'm going to study those two people in a bed and see if the inches apart is going to make a difference in their relationship? But somebody did. And a study in the United Kingdom found, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Couples who sleep an inch apart tend to be happier than those who sleep 30 inches apart.
Well, I can see that.
30
inches is almost 3 feet away.
Well, okay. So 94% of couples who fall asleep while touching their partners report a happy relationship. And only 68% of those who didn't touch at all report the same satisfaction.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. You're right. Who does this for a
living? I know. But somebody obviously does.
Right. Well, it sounds like it's time then to get rid of the king size bed and squeeze into a twin bed then.
That's right.
Well, we already have lots to think about and maybe enough information to sleep on, as they say. Stay with us as we continue our conversation on how sleep impacts your marital relationship. Dr. Linda, one of our listeners asked this question. Sometimes I'm so overcome with worry and anxiety that I think I'm losing my mind. Seems I've tried everything from drugs to meditation. Why doesn't anything work?
Well, I'm so sorry that your life seems so unmanageable and overwhelming. Too often, though, it does seem nearly impossible to live in peace and contentment because of all the craziness in our world. Did you know that God's plan for handling worry is so simple and yet so perfect that you can begin using it today? Did you know that starting right now, you can begin to cultivate a worry-free life? These aren't pie-in-the-sky promises. They're God's prescription for you to thrive and to soar past your anxiety and worries. Try this. The next time you begin to feel overwhelmed by life's pressures and worry clouds your mind with negative thoughts and depression, say what King David prayed. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Remind yourself that my heart trusts in Him and I am helped. I have so much more good news for you. I hope you'll find it in my book, Letting Go of Worry.
Thanks, Dr. Linda. Now that's great advice. You can find God's plan for your peace and contentment in Dr. Linda's book, Letting Go of Worry. It's available wherever you buy your books online. Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today we're talking about sleep habits that can improve your relationship. But remember, there's nothing that will make you sleepy when you go to Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com. There you will find blogs and ways to connect with Dr. Linda on social media, and I encourage you to check it out. And Dr. Linda, many of us like to stay up late and binge watch our favorite TV show. Is that a problem?
Do you do that, first of all?
Occasionally.
Have you done it?
Oh,
do
yeah.
you do that? Okay.
Especially when the DVD set shows up.
Mm-hmm. I've done it. I've DVR'd. Mm-hmm. Is that what you call it? DVR.
Yeah.
Is that
mm-hmm.
the right thing? A whole series. I've done it, but Norm and I did it together. So Norm's my husband, in case you're not a regular listener. And we didn't get to bed one time until 2 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And then we were both a little more edgy, a little tired well, the next day.
What did you think of the show? It was great.
You know what it was? I remember it. We were binge-watching 24.
Mm, yeah.
And Jack Bauer was just saving the day every hour, and we just couldn't stop.
Right,
we just
exactly.
kept going.
Well, if you were listening in the first segment, we know that Dr. Norm probably did better with that lack of sleep than you.
That's right. That's right. We talked about men doing better. But
right.
here's the thing. Binge watching on your own could be problematic. So we did that together. So
right.
we're talking again about how does all this affect your relationship. So researchers have linked too little sleep to a loss of interest in your partner. And studies tie that sleeplessness to depression because sleeplessness affects the mood-altering neurotransmitters that are in our brain. So, you know, you probably have heard something about dopamine, which is that reward neurotransmitter, or mm-hmm. serotonin that has an effect on mood. Those kinds of neurotransmitters are affected in the brain. So if you want to feel better and like your partner, turn off the TV and stop binge-watching and get to bed a little earlier.
You know, this explains why a new baby in the house for a young couple
yeah.
can be fairly traumatic because, first of all, there's a new adjustment, and second of all, no one's sleeping.
You don't get sleep.
Right. So
especially if you're breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. I had a child that was up every hour and a half,
right.
and I was breastfeeding that baby. I was like a walking zombie
yeah.
in the morning.
Mm. We said that earlier when sleep isn't happening, it's easier to fight the next day. Say more about that.
So I wanted to go back to that a little bit because we touched on conflict. And there was this 2013 study that was published by the University of California at Berkeley that found that couples are more likely to fight the day after a restless night.
Hmm.
So one of the problems is, that, again, that sleep deprivation can lead to a reduced ability to actually read your partner's emotions. So you're not as tuned in. You're tired. You're not really focusing in on what's going on with my partner.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that happens, there's this increase in negative feelings, and that worsens things, and couples tend to fight more as a result of that. See how sleep can impact that?
Especially if you stay up late fighting.
Yeah.
It's a vicious
circle. You're really getting a double whammy, right?
Right? Well,
and then you're binge watching on top of it. You're in trouble. You're
right.
really in trouble.
After the fight, if you stay up and watch your favorite TV
That's
shows
right,
together,
and binge.
Wow, what a mess. What's another positive benefit of sleep?
Well, let's go back to the positive. That's a good place that you took us. So sleeping next to your spouse not only feels good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it also inspires you to take care of each other.
Wow. This would be true of folks who snore. And I would think that the person who has... they have to stay up and listen to the snoring would be upset and not helpful. What's the positive connection, though, with snoring and taking care of each other?
So there actually is one. So you're right. It's kind of counterintuitive, isn't
right.
it? If someone's snoring, you probably want to hit them and go into the other room. Now, don't hit them. I'm not advocating that.
Right.
But a lot of people actually do go into another room sometimes when they can't take it. But Here's the thing. People who snore can suffer from what's called sleep apnea, and that's one of the causes of snoring. In that same cuddling, I'm using the word for you, Chris, now don't get upset with me, research that we talked about, researchers found that if one partner suffered from sleep apnea, they were more likely to use their CPAP machines. So those are the machines they put on to help them breathe, and that makes it so they don't snore, right? So that was beneficial to their health because their spouses were urging them to do it. So the end result of all of that was that there was less snoring, there was increased health benefits for that individual, and the couple was feeling like they were taking care of each other.
Wow.
So all of that snoring and helping each other was really beneficial to the relationship.
That's interesting. And a lot of times, if someone is snoring or they're restless, people stop sleeping together and they, like you said, may go off into another room. And older people tend to do this. Do you recommend that?
Not if you can help it. So that's why getting a CPAP machine is really important, not just for your health, but again, we're talking relationship health always on this show. So remember, being in bed together increases the intimacy of a couple.
The next benefit of good sleep on a relationship is important because it has to do with listening.
That's right. Do you ever feel like your spouse doesn't listen to you?
Occasionally.
Occasionally. Most of us would say yes.
Why would you ask me that on the radio, Dr.
And
Linda?
Sharon's probably listening right now, right? Well, lack of sleep or disrupted sleep could be the culprit of that. Both can lead to memory lapses.
Wow. I will say I've got an old T-shirt on right now.
Yeah.
I think I'll get one that says, don't blame me, blame the lack of sleep. But there are ways around that.
Yes, there are. So it is a good point to make, though. I don't think a whole lot of people think if I'm not getting sleep, I'm going to have memory issues. Mm-hmm. But that is connected. So let me know how the T-shirt works out, though, as you're going forward on that.
I'm looking up the T-shirt order right now. Let's see how that goes. Lots of people like to add white noise or a fan, that type of thing, when they sleep. But you found a sleep study about pink noise.
Yeah, so I wasn't really familiar with pink noise. Is that something you've heard of?
A little bit, yes.
Yeah, so maybe because you're in the engineering part of radio.
Certain frequency range
So pink noise is a type of signal that contains all of the sound frequencies that fall within the range of a human being's hearing. Mm-hmm. So that's what it is, from the lowest pitches that a person can hear to the highest tones. It's sort of a variation of white noise, as I understand it. And again, I'm not an expert on this.
Mm. It sort of sounds like the buzz on a television station that's off the air. If you remember that type of thing.
I do actually remember those when they would go to that fuzzy stuff. Yeah.
Or the sound of the ocean, that type of thing. And some people use it as background noise to relax.
Well, people who have sleep disorders sometimes buy these specialized pink sound machines to help them doze off or stay sleeping throughout the night. So it does help some people.
I was going to ask you a question about that, but I can't remember. Oh, does sleeping better help your memory?
So we did mention that just a few moments ago. Get some more sleep, Chris.
You did.
So a study last year, though, of older adults found that those who slept with pink noise at night performed 3 times better at a memory test than those who didn't. It helps by not only blocking sound, but it sometimes sounds jar you awake and they do that distracting.
Right.
So it helps you because it helps you sleep better, which improves your memory. So we need uninterrupted sleep to allow our brains to get better. I tell this all the time to college students and the medical students that I teach. My first piece of advice in medical school always to those students is get a good night's rest so you can remember what you study. Mm. And, you know, they kind of look at me and kind of yawn and say, yeah, right. That doesn't sound too scientific. But actually, the brain needs sleep to put memory into the long-term storage parts of the brain.
Wow.
So a good night's sleep makes you more likely to remember what your spouse said, which also can eliminate conflict over forgotten plans and obligations.
And then you don't stay up all night and fight.
That's right.
It's perfect, right. Well, honestly, I really never thought about the connection between a lack of sleep and forgetting things the next day. Getting sleep doesn't cost anything.
That's right.
So it sounds like an easy way to improve many parts of a relationship.
Cheaper than therapy, right?
Right, yeah.
Right.
You would know.
Yes, I would.
Well, what should we look for to recognize poor sleep?
Frequent sleep disturbances and daytime sleepiness are the two most telling signs of poor sleep hygiene. Mm-hmm. So in addition, if you're taking too long to fall asleep, you know, you should consider evaluating your sleep routine and revising your bedtime habits. Just a few simple changes can make the difference between a good night's sleep and a night spent tossing and turning.
In all seriousness, when you talk about sleep hygiene, I thought you meant I should take a shower before bed.
Well, we'll get into that. We'll kind of talk about that.
Well, great. We need to take a short break right now. But when we come back, let's discuss ways to improve sleep so we can improve our relationships right here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
From the moment we're born, we're in relationship. At first, we depend on others to take care of us, to meet all of our needs. Then as we grow older, we make friends, we meet school teachers, later a boss at work, and a spouse at home. Every relationship is important. Every relationship requires cultivation and nurturing. And at some point or another, every relationship has its challenges, and they revolve around conflict. Did you know that you can grow through conflict and become such a healthier you than you ever expected? Well, I want to help you look at conflict in new ways, to approach conflict in ways that work. My book, We Need to Talk, can help you become a better problem solver, learn to negotiate differences, and strengthen all relationships, even when conflict seems destructive. Well, let's face it, conflict is an unavoidable part of our everyday life. But conflict doesn't have to overwhelm you or destroy your relationships.
We Need to Talk, an important book by Dr. Linda Mental, is written to help you successfully navigate conflict. Find We Need to Talk wherever you buy books online. Well, you're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and Dr. Linda has written numerous books, one that may help since we are talking about couples' relationships today. It's I Married You, Not Your Family, and 9 Other Myths That May Ruin Your Marriage. Check out that book and others on her website at drlindamental.com, and you can follow Dr. Linda on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps and other social media as well.
Now, Chris, if somebody just joined us and they heard you yawn at the beginning of this segment, they're going to have no idea why you were yawning.
Well, we're talking about how sleep affects your relationship.
Okay, so it isn't because the show's been boring.
No.
Okay, good. I just wanted to check that.
All of this talk about sleep's making me yawn. We did talk about before the break sleep hygiene, and I'd said that. Does that mean you take a shower before bed, or what does that mean?
So it's one thing that I really recommend, that if you're having trouble getting a good night's rest, do Google sleep hygiene. The National Sleep Foundation has a website also with articles that help you improve your night's sleep. So there's a whole bunch of information on this on the website. I mean, there's way more than we could give in the last part of this segment.
Well, the first has to do with napping, and I, for one, like to take a nap once in a while.
But you have to limit it. According to the website, you have to limit it to 30 minutes. Otherwise, you're probably going to have trouble sleeping at night.
Right.
But they want you to know that napping does not make up for inadequate nighttime sleep. However, a short nap of maybe 20 to 30 minutes can help to improve your mood, alertness, and performance.
Why sometimes, though, when you take a nap, you just feel sluggish the rest of the day?
Well, I think that people go too long on those. So you take what we call those power naps,
right,
where it's just 15, 20 minutes, and then you get going again.
Well, Dr. Linda, here's one that affects me to some degree. Stay away from the caffeine at night.
Yeah, but you drink coffee at night.
Yeah, I do. You're right.
I could never do what you do with this, drinking coffee at 9, 10 o'clock at night, and then you go right to sleep.
Right to sleep.
That's not the usual person.
And it's the same thing with nicotine. It can affect us the same way.
That's right, because nicotine's a stimulant as well. So when it comes to alcohol, that's also one that can disrupt sleep. Moderation is really key. While alcohol is well known to help you fall asleep faster, some people use it sometimes to help them fall asleep, too much, too close to bedtime can disrupt sleep in the second half of the night as the body begins to process the alcohol. So that isn't something that works.
And, of course, exercising.
It does help promote good quality sleep. As little as 10 minutes of aerobic exercise, such as walking or cycling, can drastically improve a nighttime sleep quality for a person. For the best night's sleep, most people, though, should avoid strenuous workouts close to bedtime. I don't know if you've ever tried that, but if I try to exercise too late at night, then I'm wide awake. Are you not like that either?
No, it makes...
You're like the wrong person for this show. Can we have a new co-host?
a long day and a good exercise at night, out like a light.
See, now, if I exercise past 8:30 at night,
really?
I am wide awake, just wide awake. I can't go to sleep because my body's all revved up.
Right. Now, some people eat pizza before bed, and they say it gives them nightmares. They stay up all night long, but it can be disruptive.
It can. So heavier, rich foods, so those fatty or fried meals, spicy dishes, citrus fruits, carbonated drinks can trigger indigestion for some people. And when this occurs close to bedtime, it can lead to that painful heartburn that a lot of Americans deal with, and that obviously disrupts the sleep.
Dr. Linda, you say that it's important to establish a consistent bedtime routine.
And a relaxing one. I don't know what you do to kind of wind down, but it really helps the body.
Listen to the replay of the Dr. Linda Show.
Oh, there you go. And then you can really, but that might get you excited about right. all the good things you're going to do in your life to change and make your relationship better. This one could include something like taking a warm shower, bath, reading a book, you know, maybe just kind of relaxing. I like mindfulness and meditation on the Bible, reading scriptures. When possible, what you want to do is try to avoid emotionally upsetting conversations. Of course, that means, Chris, you can't have teenagers because they only want to talk to you at 12 o'clock at night.
Why is
you haven't
that?
Gotten there yet.
Well, I talked to a couple the other day that said she always wants to come in at 12:30
and when
talk.
That's exactly. You know, they come out from whatever they're doing and they're ready to go. So there's a lot of stuff we can do this. But I want to say that sleep was God's idea.
Right.
God wonderfully created mankind to rest about one third of their lives. If you think about it, it's a daily reminder of how our lack of control that we have in our life and our need for surrender. If you think about it, you have to surrender to sleep. And you have to tell your body to rest, which is a good reminder of what we need to do with our relationship with God.
And God tells us not to lose sleep.
That's right.
Because of worry.
That's right. And when I've written a book on that, Letting Go of Worry, he wants you to be able to have that good night's rest. The Word and our relationship with God certainly help us calm our mind down, doesn't it?
Yes.
If we look to God for answers in our lives instead of ruminating on things that are going on in our mind, it's interesting to remember that God never slumbers or sleeps. According to Psalm 121, 3 and 4. He's just as active in our lives when we lay our heads down on our pillow as when we're working, we're praying, we're living our daily routine. But we're not God, and we do need to rest our bodies.
But there are times where God wakes us up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because sometimes we do wake up in the middle of the night. Mm. We're sort of feeling the need to pray for someone. Maybe somebody's going through something, and the Holy Spirit puts it on our heart to pray for that person. Or there's a need that comes to our mind, and God has done this to me several times, wakes me up in the middle of the night to pray for that need. So during those times, allow the sleeplessness for a greater purpose. That's fine. That type of interruption will not create a problem in your relationship. Other times, though, consider getting sleep as one way to prevent marital dissatisfaction, as we've been talking about through this whole show, to make you a better person to be around and then to increase the intimacy with your partner. Do your part to create intimacy and satisfaction by paying attention to your sleep patterns and how they affect your relationship. So get a good night's rest tonight. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our social media director and producer, Norm Mental, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who always makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mental Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.